is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week. All in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet.
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
And Shannon will be posting, she probably already has, but Shannon will be posting the link to this. Okay, now the two questions. These are easy ones because this is just
thanks,
you.
Bob.
And the first one is, and I'm looking at the tweets you send out to kind of test.
Okay.
Sales, as we know, Jeffrey, is not about us. It is about the prospective.
The prospect of the car. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Okay. With all the people you've trained and all the speaking you've done, would you say that understanding that basic concept is now a known commodity for salespeople, or do most salespeople still think it's about them or about their greatest product or service that's ever been invented?
Unfortunately, they still think it's about them, and predominantly in big companies, because marketing departments think it's all about them. And so a sales guy gets a deck of slides with 26 slides in it, boring the shit out of the people that have to look at it, including the salesperson. When I talk to a big company, I say, look, take the slides you were given by marketing, give them back to marketing and say, make 5 sales with these and report your findings. And that way there's an easier path to a sale. What people don't understand is my trademark benchmarked phrase, which is people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. And so when you go out to buy a car or buy a suit of clothes or take a vacation, you're not going to get sold a hotel. You're not going to get sold a car. You're not going to get sold a refrigerator. You're going to go to buy one. And this is what salespeople absolutely don't understand. The customer is now smarter than the salesperson. They've researched 10 different companies and the salesperson only represents one. So I already have a comparison. And when I walk into a car dealership to buy a car, I already have my research. Same way everybody does now, Bob. And the sales guy will come up and go, are you looking to buy a new car today? What brings you in today? Did you want to lease or buy today? Do you have a trade-in today? Do you have a budget today? If it wasn't for the word today, they couldn't even talk. That's number one. And number two, the customer's going to take out a piece of paper with all of his research or all of her research and say, listen, I know what I want and I know how much I want to pay. So if you could take this piece of paper to your daddy and ask him if this is okay, we can finish this in about 5 minutes. And that's the new way.
6 words that you wrote on page 203 says it all. And if people will take these 6 words into their heart, they will become a much better sales professional. And that is cultivate the viewpoint of the customer.
Yeah.
Value is in the eyes of them, not us.
Now, oftentimes you may think you know what that customer wants before you start the conversation,
right?
You better start the conversation with a bunch of questions to solidify that, or you're toast.
Right.
So if I'm going to come, if I'm going to walk into a car dealership and have to meet with a salesperson, I'm not going to ask that customer if they want to lease or buy today. I'm going to say, how do you use your present car? I'm going to say, if you could have any car on this lot, which one would you take? And let the customer point to a car and I'll say, come on, let's take it for a drive. And throw the guy the keys. Now I'm engaged with that person. And I'm engaged in a way that's going to create approval because he likes me. And if I'm going to create any kind of dialogue with somebody, I want them to like me or they're not going to listen to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, you can't be a jackass and be in sales anymore.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited he's here. Say hello to Mike Metzger.
Tell me about your sales career, though. Were you able to close the $5,000 deal?
Yeah. And that was actually... So I made my first six figures in probably the very end of 2015, rolling into 2016, was able to actually look at the bank and look at my total deposits, and it was over $100,000. And I would accredit that definitely to that exact process and selling over the phone.
Did you find yourself to be like a people person or a salesperson?
I'm probably more of a salesperson. I think even like my friends that I'm like personable with, you know, they know that I just like sales, you know, and not even that I like sales. I think I dislike people who don't think they're selling. Mm-hmm. I think that's a better description.
Yeah.
Like, I recently spoke at this event and there was another speaker and I won't call him out, but
come on, what's it rhyme with?
No,
I don't even remember the guy's name, to be totally honest with you. Okay. But I just remember watching him speak and he was so like terrified of saying that he was selling something. And he did it so much that he was trying to affirm that he wasn't selling anything. He'd keep saying like, I'm not selling anything. And I hate that.
Yeah.
And I hate that because everything is such a transaction, you know, whether you're, you know, trying to get a girl to like you or you're trying to get a discount on a product or you're trying to, you know, whatever, it's all a transaction of emotion.
Trying to get a bank loan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even when you're the one buying.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure. I think the interesting part about your story is when you said that you're not, you know, you weren't qualified to do these sales yet and you didn't really know much about sales, but you made the first sale, which was yourself. You sold Adam on hiring you. And that part of it to me is huge, right?
But you also had the personal belief system that you could do it.
Right.
You know, someone gives you a challenge and you go, shit, I can do that. and then you do. I may not be able to do it right now, but I can see myself doing it. I believe in myself enough to be able to get it done. And that's a big thing. Let me explain something just so there's a little tie in here. When you started out with network marketing, those people are a bunch of believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They believe in their attitude. Some of them believe in the product, but a lot of them are there just for the money. But I can tell you that if you associate with the right people at the right time in network marketing, and I'll tell the story later, but I can tell you it's the springboard that every single person should have.
100%.
Because you don't – everyone who's there, there's no negative Nellies there.
No.
You walk into a network marketing, everybody's on fire. They're doing their thing. I listened to this. I read that. And whatever the thing – like in your time, it was The Secret. In my time, it was Think and Grow Rich. But it was always something that was positive and, you know, listening to Earl Nightingale or listening to Zig Ziglar or Herb True or whoever the people were that you listened to, those are your mentors. You don't know them. They don't know you. But they're your Jesus of success.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So when you're challenged by that guy to learn sales, you go, shit, I can do that.
Yeah.
You didn't say you couldn't.
No.
You just said you would. And then you go, all right, I got to figure something out now. I got this job. I got better figure out how to do it.
Well, and I've always felt that. I feel like I still try to challenge myself to jump into stuff and figure it out later, because I've always found that those are the best results, really. You know, I almost look for those opportunities. So me and my brother have this ongoing joke. We call these people, they're getting ready to get ready, right? And a lot of network marketers are like that. And so I do think that there's definitely some value you can take away from that industry. And I'm fortunate that I did. And I didn't pick up the habits of like all this other stuff, because people are like that. They're like, oh, well, I'm going to buy every course out there and then I'm never going to go through them. You know, I'm going to go to every single event and write down every possible, you know, set of notes that I get from every speaker.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to do anything with it.
In between getting ready and getting ready to get ready is where the money is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the problem is they're studying so hard that they're not taking action. But you took action, which is awesome.
Yeah. So I've had this. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I've had the same people messaging me for, you know, 3 years and they're just stuck on the same thing. And it's just mind blowing to me. I've never understood how you can communicate with people and, you know, follow somebody's Facebook feed and see them moving forward and not almost like draw parallels from that and say, okay, well, this person is there.
Yeah.
And I'm still right here. Like, that's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
They have no balls.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but New York City, you have no choice but to grow balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, someone chops your balls off.
And thank then you for the image.
Yeah, you're a eunuch. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the great Deb Calvert.
It's not like when you're taught how to sell, you're not usually taught that you're a leader. And so how can they take on this new way of thinking, and what's the best way to just, you know, dive into that leadership role?
Great question. We have to deal with the myths and the misperceptions that are out there. So there are two dominant ones. One of them is the myth that you have to be born with some certain ingrained qualities, that you have some sort of charisma or other characteristic that make you a leader. That's not true. Leadership is a choice. It's a choice of behaviors. This is all evidence-based. I'm not making it up. Leaders are not born. Leaders are made. Well, maybe I should correct that. Yes, every single leader who has ever been was, in fact, born, but they also made choices that caused them to be seen as leaders who people willingly chose to follow.
But they could have had a home environment that would have spurred it along. I mean, if you grow up in a household of entrepreneurs or of successful people or even leaders in the military, you automatically understand what leadership is. But as a salesperson, you're taught how to sell rather than how to lead a customer to a place of buying. And that's where the disconnect comes.
It is. I think it's like anything. Once you become an adult, yes, we all have deficits from our childhood. And we all have opportunities that come out of what we saw and what was modeled to us. But here again, we have a choice. If you want to be a leader, but you haven't had those role models and examples, well, go find them. And it might not be your sales manager. Sales managers also don't understand that there are two parts to their job, to manage sales and to lead people. So they might not be demonstrating what needs to be seen.
And oftentimes, the sales leader was the best salesperson on the team, not necessarily the best leader.
Correct. Or they didn't know what it was that made them successful. Mm-hmm. So they aren't doing it or expressing it when they're.
And you don't have to be an adult. I'm still trying.
No, I love that statement that it's a choice, because we all have come to terms here on our show that your attitude is a choice. But we've never really talked about the fact that whether or not you're acting as a leader is a choice.
Mm-hmm. And leadership, by the way, is taking control of the conversation, asking questions that create engagement, bringing ideas that prove that you've prepared for this talk, and basically being impressive. And if you have that consistency about your message, more people will want to buy. You don't have to close a sale. People will buy from you.
Exactly. And you've got to give them the clarity that comes from the questions, and it comes from not just flop, here's the proposal. It comes from helping them see themselves within that future state and the steps that it will take to get there. Because we can't operate in a fog. People don't buy when it's unclear. They only buy when you lift the fog and help them to see it.
You're always impressed when someone's prepared. Always.
Sure.
If you have the knowledge, you win.
I don't know. I think nowadays people expect the salesperson to be prepared, because if you're not prepared, they may as well go on Amazon or online or go to your competition, and they're more upset if you're not prepared.
But the marketing department in the company thinks if I give these people a set of slides, they're prepared.
Mm.
And they fool the salesperson into thinking that they're prepared.
That is very true.
Yeah, it's how you define prepared. That's exactly right. So being prepared doesn't mean I come with a ready-made solution. It doesn't mean I come with buttoned-up answers to every question and I fake it if I don't know them. It means I'm prepared to lead you and to find out where you want to go, asking the questions, like you said, Jeffrey, and then creating that clarity of vision. And your confidence in me as your salesperson slash leader is going to come from my ability to show you that I'm going to operate with integrity. That's a different type of leadership choice. And that I'm going to fully understand what your needs are and craft that solution with you that makes sense for you, that it's not all about me or some other.
The best way to operate with integrity is never you say the words, trust me.
Or put in all those little qualifiers. Really? Honestly?
Yeah, right. Honestly.
Believe me.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.